Microphone fell off. You guys were trying to figure out what I was doing up here, weren't you? Sometimes when I stand up or sit down, there's a part of me that pushes the microphone. Anyway, we'll talk about that part of me. It seems to be growing with age. Anyway, last Sunday night I had an opportunity to preach again, and I met part of the message that I preached on Sunday night was the idea of going to church. And I made a statement, and I actually had a couple people ask me about the statement, and I said something to the effect, I don't remember exactly how I said it, but I believe, and I still believe, by the way, I'm not going to change my mind, I believe you ought to be in church every time the doors are open. I believe church attendance is absolutely necessary for any Christian. And I don't care where you are spiritually. I don't care where you think you are, how spiritually mature you think you are. I think you need to be in church. But here's a sad fact. If you do any research at all, you'll probably won't be shocked at this statistic. From 1937 to 1999, so quite a period of time there, 1937 to 1999, there were several polls that were done about church membership and church attendance. And they seem to average, most of those seem to average, anywhere between 65 and 75% of the American population said they are members of a church, or at least they attend a church. Now, how many of them really did? Who knows? It seems hard for me to believe that in 1999, 70% of our population was going to church on Sunday. That's what they said. The year 2021, year 2020, here's what the population is at. The year 2020 is kind of a record year. It is the first time in the history of America, last year was the first time in the history of America, that less people went to church than didn't. That percentage of 70% last year dropped down to 47%, and lest you're thinking, well, that was all COVID, and that's changed, it hasn't. Now, it could still be have a little bit to do with COVID, but less and less people are going to church, less and less people are attending faithfully, less and less people claim to go to church. And that figure wouldn't bother me as much if I just said this, more and more people aren't attending church. That doesn't bother me so much. You know what bothers me? More and more Christians aren't attending church. Now that bothers me. Now you're sitting here thinking to yourself, I know what you're thinking, Brother Morris, we're here. Why are you preaching to us about attending church? We are actually the people who are here. Well, here's one of the reasons I wrote this sermon, one of the reasons I believe God laid it on my heart. Most of you will agree with everything I'm going to say tonight. Most of you will say, that's absolutely right. We absolutely 100% agree with that. We believe we ought to be in church. We believe we should be here more often. There's probably people sitting at home right now who would be here if they could be here. And I'm not talking about you missing church. I'm talking about people, who won't be here, but people who can't be here. That's a whole different thing. Most of you are probably saying, well, I'm always here as much as I can anyway, and that's great. Here's the problem I find. When I talk to Christians, and I do a lot of counseling, and recently I've had a few phone calls about my son, my daughter, my relative, my brother, whoever is not going to church, and I don't know what to tell them. And what they normally do, I'll say, well, what have you told them so far? And they'll say something like this. Well, I quoted Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. You know the verses, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And that's a good thing to do. That's a good verse. It does talk about, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It does talk about being in church when you can and when you should. But it seems like to me, every time I've talked to somebody recently, especially Baptist people, that seems to be the only verse they've got. That's the only reason they attend church, because that one verse. And I was actually talking, I kind of pushed a couple of people earlier today, and I said something to them. I said, why do you attend church? And they said, because the answer, overwhelming answer, is this. Oh, because the Bible says we should. And so I said, where does the Bible say that? And they're like, oh, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Okay. And that's it, right? And none of them came back with another verse. None of them came back with another reason outside of Hebrews 10. Can I tell you something? That's true, but that's pretty lame if that's all you got. Because I don't know how you've heard it, but here's what I hear all the time. Can I just read the Bible myself? What's wrong with worshiping God at home? I actually had somebody tell me last year, I feel closer to God at the beach than I do in church. Isn't it really just a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Or, I'm a member of the universal invisible church. which, by the way, has invisible service and invisible tithes, too. But I'm the Universal Invisible Church. I don't need a building to worship the Lord. Anybody heard anything like that? Anybody said anything like that to you? And I hear people saying that more and more. When I was growing up, nobody argued the fact whether or not you should be in church. It was just a given. People went to church. And those statistics, when it talks about 70% of the population either said, I don't know if they did, but said they were members or attenders of a church, I could see 70% of the population saying that. I'm not sure they did it, but I could see 70% of the population saying that. I can also see in the society we live in today that that percentage, I don't know how good a Gallup poll really is, but that percentage of 47% now seems somewhat accurate. Now, here's the good news. Let me give you some good news in this. That is not a problem at Faith Baptist Church. Some of you know a little bit of the history of Faith Baptist Church. I've been here about 14 years, and since I've been here, since Pastor Monty's been here, the church has continued to grow. Slow growth for the most part up until a year and a half ago. About a year and a half ago in our old building, I think Jason would agree with this. I think we were averaging somewhere between 425, 450 on a good Sunday in our old building. And in this building, we're averaging somewhere a little over, right at 600, sometimes up to 650 in that area. So we're not, it's not a problem here at Faith Baptist Church. So I'm not technically preaching to you. I'm preaching to you so you have information to give those who are giving you a hard time about it. And I think we all need that. We need to know what we're talking about when we talk about church attendance. Why is church attendance so important? In fact, did everybody get a sheet when you came in? I had some sheets here. There's a couple of guys, right? If you guys would stand up, Robbie's got some of them, Ms. Schaefer's got some of them. If you didn't get one, raise your hand, they'll give you one. You'll notice on that sheet, we didn't get a lot of guys. So if you guys will move around and take care of that for me, I'll stall for just a second. When you get that, the title of the message tonight is real simple, and the title is this: Do We Really Still Need the Local Church? Now, be careful, most everybody in here, when I say that, I even saw much of head shaking. Yes, we do. If I ask you to tell me why we need the local church, you'd struggle a little bit, not only because of you didn't know what to say, but even when you had the right answers, where do you find that in the scripture? So what I'm going to do, and the reason I have a little sheet tonight, is to give you some information. Let me just say it this way. Can I say it this way? And I'm not trying to be humorous. Some ammunition to fight this battle with. Because I tell you what, the generation behind us has changed a lot in their attitudes toward church. And they don't think they need it, and they're not coming. Now, again, I know there's some COVID issues out there. I know the cyber church is kind of one of the things. I know there's a lot of places for people to hear the Bible and that sort of thing. And on the computer, you can do your own Bible studies nowadays. But I still believe that the local church is God's plan for reaching the world for Christ. That's the method that God uses. I don't think that's changed. I read the scripture, and I specifically read the New Testament when the church began. You read the New Testament, you cannot get away from the influence and the power and the method that God reaches the world is through the local church. I'm trying to stall just a little bit, sir. We got any more hands still up? Everybody got about what you need? Okay. Darren, right down here, Robbie. In the front, there you go. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I just want you to just follow along. I know you're looking at that paper and saying, oh my goodness, this is going to take forever. It won't. I'm going to go really, really fast. You'll be okay. Robbie, there's some more right over here in this center section right here. Okay? And so let me give you some blanks. In the New Testament, the vast majority of scriptures in the New Testament that mention the church, the vast majority, and I'll tell you exactly how vast that is in a minute, the vast majority of the scriptures in the New Testament that mention the word church are talking about the local church. You say, Brother Morris, isn't there such a thing as the universal church? Yes, there is, and I'll discuss that in a minute. But my point to you, my first point is real simple. When you read in the Bible the word church, when you read that in the New Testament, most of the time, you're going to be talking about a local church just like Faith Baptist Church. It may be the church of Philippi. It may be the church in Rome. It may be the church in Thessalonica. It may be the church in Ephesus. It may be some local church in Jerusalem. But it's always talking about, almost always talking about a local church. So number one, here's what I want you to write down. In the New Testament, the church is a local assembly meeting together in a physical location. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to prove that, but you go ahead and write it down. In the New Testament, and by the way, all through the New Testament. Matthew, all the way to Revelation, all through the New Testament, the church is a local assembly of believers meeting together in a physical location. I get really tired of people saying, I don't need a physical location to be in church. Yes, you do. If you're going to follow the New Testament model, I know the building is not the church. The building is where the church meets. This is the location for Faith Baptist Church right now. That has changed in the last few years. The church has not changed. The same body of believers that was over there, for the most part, is the same body of believers here. But the location has changed. There is a physical location for a church. In fact, if you're wondering about that long list, I'm not going to go over that list. It took me a little while to compile it. I'd had to do a little research. But just so you know, there's about 33, I may have missed a few, but there's about 33 churches mentioned in the New Testament. And some of those you're very familiar with. You know about the church in Berea, you know a little bit about the church in Corinth, you know a little bit about the church in Ephesus or Jerusalem or Iconium. You've read those. All those other churches, though, are mentioned in the New Testament. I put those down, and I put scriptures down for you, because somebody's going to tell you that the New Testament teaches about the universal invisible church, not the local church. Baloney. There's 33 references where you can say, no, that's not what the New Testament teaches. The New Testament teaches local, independent churches. And there's enough of them in there I think you can get that point across. So every one of those that I've listed, that list there, I think I put on the bottom of your page, every one of those that I've listed was a local assembly of believers meeting together in one or more physical locations for the specific purpose of bringing glory to God through worship, praise, evangelism, and discipleship. By the way, if you wonder what the model of our church is, that is the model of our church. How the early church was established in the New Testament, we follow that model. We meet together for worship, for praise, for evangelism, and discipleship. And that's the main purpose of our church. Are there other things that we do? Absolutely, yes, we do. But the main purpose is worshiping and praising our God, evangelizing the lost world, and discipling those who we evangelize. There is no question, if you read all those churches and you read all those passages of Scripture, we won't go through those tonight, I'm going to go through another one. If you read all those instances, that this is a local church and this is what they do. And that's what we modeled our church after. So here's the second question. Number two, there's the whole front page. See how fast that went? Don't you feel better? I know some of you got that paper and like to panic, but it's okay. That's just for your information, for reference. So number two, what about the local church? Like I said, somebody might say, wait a minute, what about the universal church? There is a universal church. Some people call it the invisible church. I don't like that term. That's a weird term for me. In fact, even the universal church is not an accurate term. The Bible name for what they're talking about is the body of Christ. Okay, if you want an accurate name, that's a better name. That's the body of Christ that's made up of all believers. That would be all believers in the past, all believers in the present, and whoever accepts Christ in the future. That would be, in a sense, the entire body of Christ. That's mentioned in several passages in the New Testament. It is mentioned in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not the gates of hell. Not prevail. Shall not prevail against it. It's talking about the body of all believers in that passage. Ephesians chapter 1 talking about the same thing. Now, let me say this. While the body of Christ is mentioned in the New Testament, the local church is mentioned 100 times more. I would say it this way. I believe I can accurately prove that the local church in most passages outweighs the body of Christ in mentions 100 to 1. What you're going to read. Now, let me get you say you can't prove that. Yes, I can. Go to the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 2. Open your Bible, Acts chapter 2. Now, there's a series of scriptures on the bottom of your page there under number 2, or actually right up under that. It says book of Acts. You see that? Go to book of Acts, and so you know where I'm going to go. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. When I read this passage of Scripture, here's the question I want you to respond back to me. When I read this passage, are we talking about a universal, invisible church? Are we talking about the body of Christ? Or are we talking about a local church? Okay? So you can respond with the word universal or local. Everybody know what the exercise is now, right? I'm going to read a passage, and you're going to tell me whether this passage is talking about a specific local church or the universal body of Christ, okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 41, Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says this, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. By the way, were they baptized in a universal church or a local body of Christ? Okay, so they were baptized, and the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Where did they break bread? Where did they pray? Where did they continue in fellowship? Where did they preach this doctrine? Was it in the universal church or was it in a local church? Okay, fairly obvious, right? And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, verse 43, verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all men, and every man as he had need. And they, continuing daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the universal church daily as should be saved. Does that make sense to you, me adding that word in there? Well, he did add to the universal church, but is that what this passage is talking about? Did he add the people that were saved to the body of Christ? The answer is yes. Is that what this passage is talking about? No. It's obvious that they're breaking bread. It's obvious that they're praying. It's obvious that they're preaching. That has to be done in a specific location. That's Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 5. I won't read all of these, but I want to give you some examples. Acts chapter 5, look at verse 10. Now, what I did, I just went through the book of Acts, and every time I saw the word church, that's where we're following this little train here. Acts chapter 5, you remember the story, Acts chapter 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias sold the land, sold it for more than he said he did, brought part of the price to the universal church or the local church? He brought it to the local church, and because he lied to God, because the devil had filled his heart to lie to God in the church, he died. Later on, his wife comes, and verse 10, she lies. In verse 10, you see, there fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. By the way, which did she die in, a universal church or a local church? Look at the next verse. And great fear came upon all the church, and as many as heard these things. Local or universal? You're getting the point here? Every time you see that mentioned, there's only one occasion in Acts, I'll get there in a minute, there's only one occasion in Acts where I think you can translate that as the body of Christ or the universal church. Every time you see it, you're going to hit this. Look at chapter, you're in chapter 5, go to chapter 8. Just go to chapter 8 real quick, chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul talks about Saul, who was terrorizing the church before he was the Apostle Paul. Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time, talking about Stephen, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church. And if you stop there, I could see where you might say, that's the universal church. Because the universal church, the body of Christ, was being persecuted. True? But why don't I think it's the universal church mentioned here? Because that's not where the verse ends. Look, read it again. There was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. All right, now are we talking about universal church, body of Christ, or are we talking about local church? It was a local church. It was a church at Jerusalem. And you can continue to go on and on and on. Go down to verse 3. Saul, he made havoc of the church. Again, if you stop in the middle of the verse and say, that's the universal church, I can see why you'd say that, but that's not what the verse is saying, because it says, Paul made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committed them to prison. He did that in a specific location because the church was in a specific location. And on, I've listed here chapter 9, chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 20, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 18, chapter 20. You look at those passages for yourself. You take the time. You look at each one of those individual passages, and I guarantee you're going to come with the same conclusion that all through the book of Acts, when you read the word church, it's talking about a local assembly. Now, does that not say to you something about the importance of the local church and the necessity of the local church? That has not changed. And if somebody tells you, well, I go to the universal church and I don't need a local church, I'm going to tell you something. You can easily say to them, just by using that, just here's all the local churches in the New Testament. Here's how you proved they were local churches. What local church do you go to? What example are you following? Yes, I am in the body of Christ, and yes, I am a part of, if you want to call it that, that universal church. Everybody who's saved is part of that. And someday we will all meet together, by the way, in one location. Right? We're not there yet. But we will all someday be there. And until then, we worship God in a local church. Now, so I hope that helps you. All those passages speak of a local body of believers meeting in a specific place of worship to praise and serve the Lord. So why do we still need the New Testament church? Well, I have only listed, I think, four. I've only listed four things here, and I've made them kind of general. But I want you to be able to talk to somebody about this and say, why do we have to have a church? Why do we have to? I actually have people ask me this all the time. Well, why do you think I should go to church? I think that's a dumb question. I mean, I'm not trying to insult people. So I don't say that, by the way, in case you're wondering, in counseling, do I say, well, that's a dumb question. I try to answer the question systematically and biblically, and I try to say, well, here's why the Bible teaches that it has to be a local assembly and why you need to attend. The general influence of America, and you'll have to agree with me on this, has been affected by the decline in the local church. Some of us go back 60-some years, right? Some of you 70, some of you 50. But you cannot tell me that America has not changed because of the decline of attendance in a local church over the last 70 years. It is amazing how much society has changed, and I attribute a lot of that change in society to the decline of church attendance. You say, you mean the decline of Christians being people being saved and the decline of people being discipled? No, just attendance. Because if you're attendance and you hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can then use the Word of God. And that's one of the things that holds that's one of the things that keeps the influence of the devil away. We don't have enough influence from the church anymore. And you can't have influence from the church if people aren't going to church. It's ridiculous. So let me give you a couple things. Number one, the local church is a place where the gospel is to be preached. Anybody disagree with that? I think you know the passage, Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now let me ask you a question. If somebody tells me I'm a member of the universal church and that's how I worship God, single in my heart. Can you ask me, here's what I want to ask him. So where do you do your preaching? Because it's obvious to me the scripture teaches that preaching should occur, right? I can tell you this. I've never met anybody that says, I don't go to church, that turns around and says, but I go downtown and I preach to everybody on the street. I'm not saying there isn't somebody like that. I'm just saying I've never met that guy. So where does this preaching occur? You tell me. Where do we hear the preaching of the Word of God? Well, you should hear that in a local assembly of Bible-believing people. That's what's what the local church is for. And by the way, if you go to a church that doesn't preach and doesn't preach from the Bible, get out, including faith. If that happens to Faith Baptist Church, Pastor Monty and I both die because that's probably what will have to happen. And Pastor Wall is no, I'm not going to say that. But if our pastors eventually leave and somebody comes in here and this becomes a social gathering and a book club and a fellowship hall, this is not a church anymore. It has to have the preaching of the Word of God. And if the Word of God has to be preached, where would it be preached without the local church? And who's going to do this preaching without the preachers? You understand? You understand why we need the local church? Just going from the truth of the Scriptures. Here's number two. The local church is the place where the saints are to be taught. I think you know that. If you get saved, you need to be taught. I mentioned last Sunday in my testimony, I got saved when I was 16 years old, had very little, if any, Bible knowledge. I knew some things about the Bible, right? I knew that there was a Jesus Christ. I knew that he had died on a cross. I had heard that from my grandmother. I had heard that when I'd been in church in a few times in my life earlier. I had a general idea of some of the things that happened in Genesis, that God created the world. Even though I wasn't a Christian, I believed in God. I believed he created the world. But I did not have the information in my head to understand what I needed to do to be saved. I didn't know how to accept Christ. I didn't even know what his sacrifice on the cross had to do for me. And I had to be taught that. Guess where I learned that? I learned that in the local church. I walked in the church and somebody stood in the pulpit and they preached and I heard the gospel. And when I came down the aisle, somebody took me in the back and showed me from the Bible what it took to be saved. You know where that's supposed to happen? Well, it's supposed to happen everywhere. But where is it centered? In a local church. You understand that? So, that's where we teach. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. You know the verses. They're called the Great Commission to the church. Go ye therefore and what? Teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then again, the first teaching is teaching them the gospel. The second teaching is teaching them through discipleship, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even to the end of the world. Somebody tells you they don't go to church and they tell you you're a Christian. My first question is, where do you preach? You know what my second question is? Where do you teach? What do you mean, where do I teach? I don't teach anywhere. Well, then you're not a good Christian because you're commanded to teach. Do you think I have a responsibility to teach the next generation the truths of the Scripture? I absolutely do if I'm a Christian. I can prove that from thousands of different places in the Scripture. You have the same responsibility. Where is that teaching centered? In the local church, right? You still with me? Not only should we teach, I like this verse, Acts chapter 14, verse 17. And when they were come and had gathered together the church together, they rehearsed. I like that word. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He opened the door of faith into the Gentiles. So A, we teach, and then B, we rehearse. How many of you have noticed this? How many of you have noticed that if you come to church long enough, you're going to hear a sermon on the same thing, maybe from a different person, maybe from a different perspective, but you've heard reruns. We repeat things. Do you know why we repeat things? Do you know why we rehearse the truths of the Scripture? So you'll remember the truths of the Scripture. I will say a million times in my lifetime that Christ died on the cross for my sins. I'll say it over and over and over and over again. Not only because it's truth, but I want the hearers to understand that if He died for my sins and God loves the whole world, then He died for your sins. Amen? So we teach in the local church. We rehearse in the local church. I like this. Look at the next thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "For this cause," Paul talking to Timothy about the church in Ephesus, "for this cause I have sent you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into," look at the next word, "remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So we teach in the local church. We rehearse in the local church. And yes, we remember in the local church. Sometimes I'm rehearsing the truth, you know. Sometimes I'm reminding you of the truth, you know. Everybody in this auditorium, if you've been saved and you've been at church very long at all, you've heard a pastor say something like this. The Bible says you should not bear false witness against your neighbor. That is, you should not lie and deceive your neighbor. We all heard that, right? You probably heard that even before you came to church. If you had good parents, your parents told you that. It's wrong to lie, right? And all you had to be told, probably for most of you good people, was one time, and you haven't lied since. Is that how it works? That is not how it works. You're just like me. I have to be reminded all the time. I have to be reminded to tithe. I have to be reminded to read my Bible. Tonight I'm reminding you the importance of the local church. I have to be reminded to witness to my neighbors. I have to be reminded to be a good example to my children. I have to be reminded, you wouldn't believe this because I love the woman, I have to be reminded to show my wife that I love her. I have to be reminded to sacrifice for her and to sacrifice over and over. Any of those things I just mentioned you don't already know? It's the local church that does that. That's part of our job. Not just to teach, but to rehearse the truth and to remind you of the truth over and over. Now let me ask you a question. If you don't attend the local church, where is that happening for you? It's not. It's absolutely not happening for you. And you're not growing much spiritually as you think you are. It irritates me when somebody says stuff like that. You know, like I said a while ago, I feel more close to God when I'm on the beach. I can sit there and meditate. Meditate on what? What truth are you meditating on? How pretty the water is? How warm the sun is? Those are good things, and I guess you could praise God for those things. What else? What truths are you learning sitting on the beach? What organized teaching are you going through? What systematic study? You're not. And people who tell you that aren't either. I need my rest on Sundays. I tell you what, you need a lot more than rest. You need the Word of God. And if you had enough of the Word of God, you wouldn't be so tired all the time because you wouldn't be doing foolish things and ruining your own life. So we teach in the local church, we rehearse in the local church, we remember in the local church. I like this too. Timothy, Paul said this to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So we teach in the local church, we rehearse in the local church, we remember in the local church, and we are encouraged to continue in the local church. Continue doing what you know is right to do. One of the things I'm doing right now is teaching you, rehearsing the truth to you, reminding you of the truth you already know, and urging you to continue doing it. Can you continue? I don't care what the rest of the world is not faithful in church. I care about the people that are here in Faith Baptist Church and in this area that I have to minister to, whether that's Danville or Avon or the whole state of Indiana. I want them to continue in the truths, and I will rehearse it, and I will remind them as much as I can. And we do this. You can go through a long list. This next little list here, number 1, 2, 3, and 4, just a short little list. I won't read all the passages of Scripture. I'll run out of time if I try to do that. But isn't part of the church praying for each other? That's number one there. Aren't we as a church supposed to pray for each other? If you don't attend a church, can I ask you a question? How are you praying for the people of the church? How are you praying for other believers? You're praying for the body of Christ in general. Oh, God, bless all the Christians who are Christians. That's not very specific prayer, is it? But I can do this. I can come to a local church and I can meet individual Christians and I can figure out what's going on in their lives and I can say, Lord, bless Darren Wilson. Help him to be a good son and do what he can do to help his mom. Amen? Pray about that. And I can pray about everybody in this church. I can think of every individual. And I can follow the command to pray for the other Christians because I know them. You know people who don't go to church? They can tell me all they want, I pray. But I'm going to ask them this. Who are you praying for? Well, just your family, probably. Maybe a neighbor. We gave you a list tonight. You walked in, you got one of those little yellow sheets, right? I give you a whole list of people to pray for. And specific needs that you should be praying for. That's part of your, yes or no, is that a part of your duty as a Christian to pray for your brother? You can't pray for your brother if you don't know who they are. If you're not fellowshipping with them, if you're not spending time with them. You begin to think the church might be important. You begin to see the necessity of the local church, so we pray for them. Number two, pastor, I was mentioning, pastor always has to come by and ask me, we talk a little bit about the message. He has to, I think he wonders, you're going to do a good job tonight? Because nobody is going to do as well as he would do, right? But he made this, this wasn't in my notes, and I thought, he said, yeah, and where would they serve? Ooh, that's a good point. If you don't have the local church, would you agree with me, and I've listed several passages of Scripture, you can look them up for yourself. If you didn't have the local church, can I ask you a question? How would you fulfill the command to be a servant? Well, I was nice to the cashier at Walmart today. Well, okay, that's a form of service. But where would you teach? Where would you preach? Where would you reach other people for Christ? That's through the institution of the local church. That's why it's been established. That's why it's absolutely necessary. That has not changed since the day of Pentecost. The local church is still God's method for reaching a lost and dying world. It is still the primary method that he uses. And that is not going to change until Christ returns. Amen? Prayer, where do you serve, where do you pray? Where do you support the weak and the sick? Is that one of our responsibilities as a Christian, to support the weak and sick? Of course it is. Where's that done? It's done in the local church. Where do you get discipline and conflict resolution? That's the next two blanks there. Discipline and conflict resolution among Christians. If you don't have a local church and you have your brother's offended you or you have offended him and you go to him and he's not going to get it right, what do you do? Oh, wait, Matthew 18, I'm supposed to go to the universal church? Try it. Try to go to an invisible church to get that fixed. Won't happen. Has to happen in the ministry of a local church. Now, I know I'm being somewhat ridiculous and I know I'm not telling you anything, but have you ever talked to somebody about church and they say, I don't have to go to church, I don't need to go to church? Does that sound like what the Bible's teaching here? Obviously, church is an absolute necessity. I'm still bothered when we have 600, 650 on Sunday morning and 250 on Wednesday night. That means that 400 people decided, I don't need to be there. Now, I know there are a lot of people who are sick and are struggling. There are a lot of people who are shut-ins and can't come. I'm not talking about those people. And if you're listening on the internet, you know I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people who just made the decision, I'm not going. You're that strong, are you? You can fight the world, the flesh, and the devil without the help of the local church? I don't think so. I'll tell you right now. I've been around long enough. I've been in the ministry a little over 45 years, and I'll tell you straight to your face, you try that and you'll fail. The devil will defeat you on your own. You do not have that kind of strength. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are necessary, absolutely necessary, and those are our main weapons, but the fellowship and the backing of the local church is primary in your life. You've got to have that too. Here's number three. Number three, the local church is a place where the two ordinances are to be practiced. I thought about this one this afternoon. I hadn't written this in my notes, but I was thinking about that. I said, how many of you would agree, look up here for a second, how many of you would agree that the Bible teaches that a saved believer needs to be baptized? You would agree with that? We would all agree with that. Can I ask you a question? If you don't have a local church, how's that going to happen? Your individual universal church that's invisible, you get invisibly baptized, do you? Do you get universally baptized? Don't be silly. Where does that happen? It happens in the local church. Where do we have the Lord? Do you believe that the Lord says that we should do this in remembrance of Him, speaking of communion or the Lord's Supper? We should, right? Can I ask you a question? Where do you do that? Haven't thought about that yet? If you don't go to church, can I ask you a question? Are you baptized? Well, I got baptized. Well, when was that? Back when I was going to church. You take the Lord's Supper on a regular basis, remembering the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, remembering His sacrifice, commemorating His body and His blood. Do you do that? Well, no, but I drink some grape juice and a cracker every now and then and think about it. Come on, you know better than that. That's the two ordinances of the local church, and we don't have time to go into all that. Here's number four. The local church, you know this one, the local church is to be the storehouse for tithing and giving. That's where your money should be. That's where your tithe and your excess giving should be given. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, now concerning the collection of the saints, as have I given order to the churches, not universal church. You say, how do you know he's not saying universal church? Churches of Galatia, that's a specific church in a specific location, is it not? Churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The local church is a place we tithe and we give. I have found this to be true. Most people who say they don't go to church don't tithe. Now, I'm not talking people who are sick and send their money in. I understand that. It's a different thing. But most of them tithe, and they don't give because they don't have a church. So let me ask you a question. How are they supporting evangelism and discipleship? Me personally, I'm thankful that there were some people in Florence, South Carolina that decided to build a church and decided to pay a pastor and decided to build a congregation that eventually hired a youth pastor that visited my house and invited me to church, and I got saved through the ministry of the local church. And almost everybody in this room got saved through the ministry of a local church. There may be some who got saved through like a Billy Graham crusade. I was talking to a guy like one night about that, and he said, I got saved through a Billy Graham crusade. I don't go to any church. You know who sponsored the Billy Graham crusades? Churches. That is the home of evangelism and discipleship. If you don't support the local church, you don't support evangelism and discipleship, and you don't support worldwide missions. You can say what you want. You don't. If you do, how do you support worldwide missions without the local church? Well, I send money to such and such an organization to feed the hungry. That is not the gospel, and that is not... nothing wrong with feeding the hungry. Amen? If you can, you ought to. But that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about worldwide evangelism. We're talking about getting the scriptures in the hands of those people and teaching the truth of the gospel so they can be saved. How do you support that without the local church? Anybody begin to understand the importance of the local church and what you can tell somebody when they say, well, I don't go to church, we don't even need church anymore? Somebody said, this was a couple years ago, a guy made this statement to me, and I thought it was, I almost laughed. He said, I don't think the church is relevant today. Really? That's about the dumbest statement I've ever heard. It's more relevant today than it's ever been. It's more needful today than it's ever been. It's more important that you be in church today than ever. I mentioned last Sunday night that the Bible makes it very clear that evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, that the world is going to slide away from God further and further. We're not getting closer to Him. And if the world's getting worse and worse and evil men and seducers are gaining more and more ground, you need less church? What kind of nonsense is that? Don't kid yourself. Now, again, I may be yelling. I'm not necessarily yelling at you. I'm yelling for you. Some of you need to get the tape of this message and stick it in the hands of your children and grandchildren and say, quit talking about not going to church. Don't be ridiculous. The Bible teaches. You cannot read the New Testament specifically. You cannot read the New Testament and not see the importance of being in church and the importance of the local church. And by the way, if the church is important, you being in it is important. Because the church cannot function. If all of you leave and I have a big church building, we can't do anything. We need you here so the church can properly function and carry out the gospel and the plan of salvation. If the church doesn't carry out the Great Commission and the things that I've listed and much, much more, can I ask you a question? How will that be accomplished? Well, you know the answer. You're shaking your head, Tom. It won't be accomplished, will it? No. No local church, no preaching. No local church, no teaching. No local church, no real discipleship. No local church, no baptisms, no communion. No local church, no organized soul winning or discipleship. No local church, no missionaries, and literally no worldwide evangelism. You say, Brother Morris, are you saying that you can't go to heaven if you don't attend church? Absolutely not. I'm not saying that at all. You can get saved outside of the local church. You'll be surprised, though, how few people get saved without the influence of a local church. But you can get saved outside of the local church. Well, are you saying that you can read and study the Bible? You can't read and study the Bible without going to church? No, I'm not saying that. You can read and study the Bible without going to the local church. So are you saying that to be a spiritually strong, mature Christian, you have to go to the church? I absolutely am saying that. How can you be a strong, spiritually mature Christian, but you don't support preaching, and you don't support teaching, and you don't support discipleship of those who do get saved, and you don't support worldwide missions, and you don't support evangelism in a local church? How can you say you're a strong spiritual Christian? I ain't buying it. Sorry. If you've got a burden for lost souls, if you're saved and you've got a burden for lost souls, then you ought to be involved in a local church that's reaching them. I don't know any other way to say that. You need the local church, and the local church needs you. Even more specifically than that, I don't mind saying it, you need Faith Baptist Church in Danville. I keep trying not to say Avon. You need Faith Baptist Church in Danville, and Faith Baptist Church of Danville needs you. Amen? Now, that should be enough information for anybody that discusses with you, I don't need church. Really? You need church more than you ever think you need church, and you need church now more than ever. You, like me, are not fully spiritually mature. That's going to happen, yes, in your private devotions, yes, in your prayer life, and that's going to happen by the encouragement, by the rehearsal, by the remembrance, by the teaching, by the preaching, and the continuation of the local church. Don't ever let the church die. Amen? Dearly Father, Lord, I pray and thank you for the institution of the local church. I'm thankful, Lord, that probably a good 99 to more, even 100% of the people that are sitting here are saved because of the influence of a local church. I'm thankful that the gospel is being preached in local churches across the country tonight. I'm thankful for Faith Baptist Church and its stand on all these truths. Help us to be strong. Lord, I know there's a lot of churches that are failing, and I know that a lot of people aren't going anymore. But Lord, help us to preach a message so clear and so pure that people are attracted to it, that they find out who the Savior is, and after finding Him, Lord, that they grow to be more like Him and reach others. It's still the method for discipleship. It's still the method for evangelism. And God, may it ever be the method of Faith Baptist Church of Danville. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.